with a few disclosures at first. The 15-minute presentation that I'm about to go through, people can write PhD dissertations on. So this is meant to be a very cursorial, high-level, very quick kind of survey of the way in which we have pursued LGBT advocacy over the course of the last few years, obviously with the message being that there is a high degree of transferability to other movements, including the public health movement that you all are actively engaged in. So please know that virtually everything that you're going to hear from me today, I think, has a high degree of transferability to the fine work that you're doing. A little bit of background on the organization that I work for. We are the nation's largest civil rights organization dedicated to LGBT equality. We are what we call a multi-issue advocacy organization in that we pursue equality at all levels. We do marriage equality, we do bullying in schools, we do non-discrimination work, we do obviously systemic change work, meaning both changing hearts and minds as well as changing institutions, whether they be corporations, schools, municipal institutions, healthcare institutions, a little bit of everything. The easiest way to put it is we work it from all sides and we work it hard. So first, just to ground us in the fact of there's an awful lot of good stuff obviously happening in the movement for LGBT equality. We call it Big Mo, right? Big momentum. Marriage equality is now in 33 states. 62% of Americans, about 220 million Americans, live in marriage equality states. Public support is at record high. We have a record number of gay federal judges and out gay ambassadors. Time magazine, you know, is declaring that gay marriage has already been won. In fact, it has not, but it's good to see them asserting that it has. The U.S. Senate, record bipartisan vote, passed the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, and the Obama administration has made over 75 life-changing LGBT affirmative policy and regulatory changes that all will immeasurably impact for the better the lives of LGBT people across the country. But at the same time these are all happening, there are a very significant number of problems for LGBT people as well. And I think especially from the perspective of this conference, it's important that you be grounded in the obstacles to our complete and total equality, because we're hoping that you will also serve as advocates on our behalf. 56% of LGBT people have experienced discrimination in healthcare settings. 70% of trans people have. The risk factors for members of our community are very high. Obesity rates are higher, smoking is higher, and the rates of individuals going to competent healthcare providers is significantly lower for members of our community. Substance abuse and mental health indicators are also significantly higher for all of the members of our population as well. Our youth are in peril. 40%, let me repeat that, 40% of homeless youth identify as LGBT. That, to me, is an absolutely staggering number. So if you go into a homeless shelter, virtually any place across this country right now, 4 out of 10 kids in that homeless shelter will identify as LGBTQ, more than likely. 64% of LGB and 44% of transgender students reporting feeling unsafe at schools. And unfortunately, our youth are 4 times as likely to attempt suicide than heterosexual youth. So as you can see, the deck from a healthcare epidemic point of view is really kind of stacked against us. And do not forget, which is something that people often will challenge me on and tell me that I'm wrong, that you could still be fired in 29 states in this country because you're gay, and 32 states lack explicit employment protections on the basis of gender identity, and there are no federal non-discrimination laws. So please know that while definitely there's a lot of momentum on our side, we still have a long way to go as a community. So how are we going to achieve that breakthrough moment where equality is definitely the achieved end for our community? Well, one way we're going to do it is by coming out. 9 out of 10 Americans now know someone who identifies as LGBT. Now, the interesting part to this is that if we just finished some survey research, in the state of Mississippi, it's only 5 out of 10. So continuously encouraging members of our community to come out is incredibly important to our integration and our mainstreaming in American society, because once you know someone who's LGBT, you are much more likely to go ahead and change your mind over a period of time on issues to include full legal equality. Our messaging has changed very much as a community, and I think that that accrues to our benefit. It used to be that we communicated from a frame of equal rights, right? You heard that a lot from the gay community. We want equal rights. Well, what we discovered over a period of years is that that messaging was not breaking through. It really was moving no one to come to our side. So after some very painful and expensive research, we've moved our framing to one of commonality, of establishing common human bonds with Americans. So love, honor, family, and commitment is now the messaging that you see from our movement. And that establishment of the common human bond that no one can deny, no matter how adverse or opposed they are to us, is one that has really made us be able to move people significantly over time. And it's not a movement that we're looking for in terms of moving from one end of the continuum to another, but rather we like to engage Americans in a conversation that brings them along on a journey, and I really do think that the word evolution is an accurate one, to where they, like the layers of an onion, constantly kind of focus on our issues and pay attention to them, and over time evolve. And so we use momentum moments, if you will, both good and bad, in order to bring individuals, Americans, on this journey of discovery in order to be able to have further reflective moments on our equality. I don't think it will, any of you that know the Human Rights Campaign will be surprised to know that we are not afraid of pushing back hard on our opponents or when we see very noticeable moments of complete outright bigotry or discrimination. So we use these momentum moments, and I mentioned that some of them are bad, in order to really push our opponents back on their heels and use them as an opportunity for fair-minded Americans to reflect on the fact that bigotry is not an American value. We believe very strongly that making anti-LGBT comments should in fact be not consistent with our shared values as Americans. So any opportunity that we have in order to drive that message forward is one that we take, and we take it through a variety of different ways, as you can see. Thank you. We, as an organization, but also as a movement, organize, engage both LGBT people as well as our straight allies. And I want to pause there and talk about the fact that we realize that as a people, as LGBT people, we are going to be limited in terms of just the sheer number of people that we have within our community. It's unclear what percentage of the population LGBT people are. It's somewhere in between 3% by the most conservative estimates to perhaps 10%. If you visit Washington, D.C., the city that I live in, you think that it's 100%. But we realize that we're not going to be able to gain full equality by only speaking to our own community. So we communicate very intensely with our straight allies, right, and fair-minded Americans. So one of the things that our secret to success over the course of the last 45 years of our movement is that we are equally represented in all socioeconomic classes of American life. We are not just born to liberal Democrat parents from the Upper West Side of New York. We are born in equal measures to conservative Republican parents from Mississippi. And so that gives us a special kind of in, if you will, but it's also a requirement that we speak in a culturally competent manner to all of them as well, in order to make sure that we can bring them along on their journey as well. So when it comes time to organize and to engage, we use an awful lot of tactics, and specifically we engage these tactics during the election in 2014 in order to make sure that our issues were well represented when folks went out and voted. As I mentioned at the beginning, we are a multi-issue advocacy organization. So a large part of our philosophy is to really work equality from all different angles. So you'll see We work at, in many ways from an institutional perspective as well. So our philosophy is, we have what's called the Human Rights Campaign Foundation, is that while we can and will be subject to the whims of politics in many senses, the institution of our foundation basically kind of, if you will, takes out those whims of equality. So our Corporate Equality Index rates all American corporations on their LGBT workplace practices. Our Healthcare Equality Index does the same in healthcare settings. Our Municipal Equality Index does the same for American cities. We have programs like Welcoming School that incorporate best practices for LGBT youth as well as LGBT parents of kids in schools. And so, as you can see, we really try and bring equality from all different aspects into the daily life of Americans, both from the perspective of the LGBT population as well as our straight allies that may be looking to support us. One of the things that, as the employee of a political advocacy organization, I can say, and I want to make sure that you all know as well, is that elections do have consequences. And for us specifically, the Republican takeover of the Senate and a growth in the House effectively means that we will have a much harder time passing pro-equality legislation over the course of the next few years. Now, you would ask, okay, well, that may very well be a statement of truth, but how does it deal with public health consequences? I take you back to those statistics at the very beginning that I shared with you, and unfortunately, an awful lot of those statistics are driven by stigma, and an awful lot of those stigma statistics are driven by the fact that we don't have legal protections, either at the federal level or in many states, that protect LGBT people. So we see it as all interrelated. If there are unfortunately not equality advocates in Congress to pass vital legislation for us, the unfortunate reality is that many of those statistics are going to persevere. And so that's why for us it is a completely interrelated strategy in order to not elect more Democrats to the House and Senate, but rather to elect equality supporters. And we're very clear on that, because there are many Republicans that are equality supporters, but we are very, very much focused on the fact that in order to pass legislation that is supportive of our community, we need representatives in Washington that will support our community when the time has come. I'm going to go ahead and play a video here, and I'm going to adjust this microphone. It's a little awkward. That's why I'm warning you in advance. But before I play the video, which is incorporated into this PowerPoint presentation, I just wanted to tell you a little bit about it. One of the things that our movement has been very effective in doing is also changing the messaging paradigm, completely turning the table on its nose, if you will. What you'll note in this commercial that we're spending a healthy amount of money in Mississippi over the course of these ensuing 4 weeks in order to test out a theory, and that is that basically we are taking religion back. For an awful long time, religion has been used against LGBT people. There's been this false narrative or false premise out there that you could not be a person of faith and support LGBT equality. And we wanted to go ahead and upset that dynamic and really kind of just turn it on its nose, if you will. And so what you're about to see is a campaign that is literally going on right now across the entire state of Mississippi by the Human Rights Campaign in order to take back the mantle of religion and literally use Jesus Christ to advocate for LGBT people. The campaign is, I think you'll be surprised. So let me adjust this, and I pardon this noise, but I think just kind of pay attention for a moment. You're going to have to listen really kind of hard here.
I am a Bible-believing, born-again Christian. I was blessed to have three sons, love them to death. My middle son was about to graduate from college, and he said, "Mama, I'm gay." Nothing in my life had ever prepared me for that. I said, "What's going to happen? This is going to tear our family apart. Your daddy will die." It's hard to talk to somebody and tell them something you know is going to break their heart. And it was the first time in my life that I'd ever seen him cry. And he said, life to people that have been pressed out of the church. We've closed our doors to people that need us the most. God called us to love each other.
So that ad, which I consider one of my proudest moments at the Human Rights Campaign, is the beginning of a strategy on our part to take JC back and to, you know, to not allow a cudgel that has been used against us for decades. And certainly, as long as, I mean, I can tell you, you know, as a kid who grew up Catholic to Cuban-American parents, you know, in Miami, and was told at one point by my dad, better a dead son than a gay son, and it was all highly steeped in religiosity, I can tell you that that is really, it was a breakthrough moment for me as a gay man, and specifically representing my organization, that we were not going to really kind of leave any instrument of opposition on the table anymore that could be used against us. This is a very highly transferable concept. Well, certainly not JC. I think that, you know, there's a number of different ways to basically take what has in the past or historically been used against you and just kind of say, no more. You know, we're going to figure out a way to kind of use this. We do that oftentimes with unlikely validators that we feature in op-eds, right? Individuals that you would not necessarily have thought of would have been supporting LGBTQ rights. We engage over time, we may gain them as validators, and we go ahead and put them in front of people, and those help them in their evolution on our issues as well. So again, just lastly, there's a high transferability of all of these concepts to, I think, the public health movement and many other things. And I'll be available at the end to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you very much.